From NPR News, this is News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea.
Revolución es sentido del momento histórico. Es cambiar todo lo que debe ser cambiado. Es igualdad y libertad plena. Es ser tratado y tratar a los demás como seres humanos.
Cuba's Fidel Castro has announced he's resigning almost half a century after La Revolución. President Dwight D. Eisenhower held office when the cigar-smoking leader transformed the nation into a communist country. Joining me now is Frances Robles. She's a correspondent with the Miami Herald. Frances, welcome.
Hi, how are you?
So Fidel Castro has been ill and his brother has been running the country since 2006. Why is he stepping down now?
On Sunday, Cuba's National Assembly will meet to choose members of the Council of State and the President of the Council of State. The President of the Council of State is essentially the President of Cuba. So this is the perfect time for Fidel Castro to finally acknowledge, look, I'm not fit for this post.
So how is this playing out in Miami?
It's pretty calm. About a year and a half ago, when Fidel first got sick, there was thousands of people dancing in the streets in absolute glee. They suffered a black eye for that because, well, he didn't die for one, and the government continued in office. So now people are taking a pretty measured wait-and-see attitude.
How do you think this is playing among dissidents in Cuba right now?
They're cautious. A lot of people use the expression, well, you know, this is the same dog with a different collar. However, others are really hoping that this is going to be a big moment for Cuba. Nobody's accusing Raul Castro of being a Democrat who's going to call for free elections tomorrow, but they do think that he's somebody that could start making changes that are going to improve people's lives.
So President Bush responded to the news yesterday while he was traveling in Rwanda. He said Castro's resignation meant a period of transition for Cuba. What does it mean for the U.S.? What is the U.S. expected to do? There's been a crackdown, for example, during the Bush administration over remittances, over travel. Is there going to be an easing of those, do you think?
Well, right now there can't be. There's still the Helms-Burton Law, which makes it illegal to trade or deal with Cuba as long as there are hundreds of political prisoners and no democratic elections. So they can choose Raul, they can choose somebody else, but until a certain set of conditions are met, that's not going to change any relations with Washington.
How important is it that Castro still heads the ruling Communist Party? Is that symbolic or is that going to have an effect on policy?
Well, that's going to be a really important thing to wait and see. What does that mean? Does that mean that he's going to have an office with a staff and still be making orders? That's really unclear. That it was very interesting to see that when he laid out his resignation or what jobs he was stepping down from, that he did not mention a very powerful position. It sort of suggests that he's going to be lurking in the shadows, perhaps getting in the way.
I visited Cuba many years ago, and as you well know, it's a very complicated situation. I got the sense that people who were on the island now feared that wealthy expats would come back to the country, buy up everything, since wages are so low and the country's struggling. Is that conversation bubbling up at all?
People are really afraid of capitalism in Cuba. I've never been able to figure out whether that's been because of 49 years of propaganda by the communist government or just real fear, or a little bit of both, probably. People are really afraid. People are afraid that they're going to lose their homes, that they're going to lose, well, they don't really have any businesses, but the little that they'll have, they don't want to see people from the United States come take it.
Is race a factor in all of this? Because many of the Cuban expats, certainly not all, are more fair-skinned and have more Spanish heritage. Many of the people in Cuba are darker-skinned and have more African heritage. How does race play into all this?
Well, it's really interesting. I think Cuba likes to spread the myth that they've ended racism in Cuba. And that's simply not the case. One of the things that a lot of people argue is that even the things that are going on in Cuba, whatever benefits there have been, didn't necessarily reach a lot of the black people. The best tourism jobs, you will rarely see a black person in the tourism industry. You also rarely see a black person getting remittances from the relatives in Miami because the relatives in Miami, as you pointed out, are mostly white. I don't sense that black Cubans resent white Miamians. I think they resent the conditions that they live in and the poverty that they're suffering.
Finally, what do you see ahead, just briefly, in terms of how this is going to unfold from the Cuban-U.S. relations side?
There's going to be a lot more pressure to lift the embargo. Already yesterday, a lot of people were saying that this shows that Cuba policy failed and that it's time to change it.
All right. Well, Francis, thanks a lot.
Thank you for having me.
Francis Robles reports on Cuba for the Miami Herald. She joined me from the WLRN news studios at the Miami Herald.